I just want to thank you. I feel so welcomed here. Thank you so much for welcoming me into your community. This is a true joy for me. The New Testament lesson this morning is taken from Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 29, just four little verses. Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God within us, for the word of God among us. Thanks be to God. How many times have you heard it said, Happy New Year? I want to say it one more time. Happy New Year! Thank you. Did you all have a good Christmas tide? Yes, it's one of my favorite times of the year. No more rushing around and trying to get packages wrapped. I won't tell you how many packages ended up under the tree wrapped in a Christmas towel this year. But truly, it was the 12 days of Christmas. If you start on December 25th and count 12, you would end on January 5th, which was yesterday, and today is January 6th, the start of a new season, Epiphany. When you and I speak of Epiphany, we mean a sudden perception or insight into the essential meaning of something, which is usually initiated by a simple or commonplace experience, an epiphany, an aha. Traditionally, Epiphany is celebrated in the church because the birth of our Savior was not only announced to shepherds out watching their flocks by night, but as Maggie was telling the children and us, it was also recognized by scholars living a long ways from Bethlehem, non-Jews who experienced the wonder of wonders which creation could not keep hid. They followed that star. They found the child. They knelt before him and gave him gifts suitable for a king, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, as we have just sung. On this celebration of Epiphany, I want to introduce you to the three wise women. My hope is that we will see that each one of these perceived the move of God, and each one of these women offers insights, which offers gifts to us. These three wise women and their gifts will allow us to live out Christmas throughout this new year. Who are the three wise women? Mary, Anna, and Elizabeth. Mary. Mary was the mother of Jesus. During Christmas season, we sing Silent Night, Holy Night. All is calm, all is bright round yon virgin mother and child. It's a beautiful hymn, a beautiful carol, beautiful scene. Allow me to interject a bit of reality into this beautiful scene. Silence was probably not what surrounded Mary and Joseph on that night. Remember, Luke's gospel tells us that a decree went out that all the world shall be taxed. Mary and Joseph, along with all of the many descendants of King David, traveled to poor little Bethlehem. It's a lot of folks. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie? I don't think so. So many people descending upon a poor village that there was no room in any inn. I imagine it was more like the Louisiana Superdome after Hurricane Katrina. And there was Mary, far from home, far away from the comfort and support and experience of the other women in her family. And she's about to give birth to her first child. I imagine it must have felt that God had forgotten about her. As you recall, Mary and Joseph are the first to find room in a stable. I imagine in the middle of the night, Mary leaning back against the scratchy hay, exhausted, but cradling baby Jesus in her arms. When she looks up and there are people invading her space, but these folks are not looking for shelter for the night. These are shepherds, sent by angels, sent by God. Perhaps they were indeed sent to worship the newborn Savior, but also because of their very presence to remind a frightened young mom that God had not forgotten her. In her wisdom, this new mom treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart, Scripture tells us. There, in the middle of the chaos of Bethlehem, Mary contemplates, and we find our silent night. Right there, she finds her peace, heavenly peace. And when, in the midst of our own chaotic world, we choose to pause, to think on God, to wonder and hold on to, as best we can, the mystery, we too receive God's peace. On Epiphany, as we close out Christmas and move into the new year, I want us to use light to remind us of the gifts of the three wise women. The first candle we light is Mary's candle. There it goes. And may this light guide us into times of contemplation, the giving of our attention to the one who will never forgive us, the one always speaking to us, be still and know that I am God. The second wise woman is Anna. We find Anna's story in chapter 2 of Luke. Mary and Joseph bring baby Jesus to the temple on the eighth day, according to Jewish law. Anna is an old woman who, according to Luke, lives in the temple, worshiping, fasting, and praying. Luke also calls Anna a prophet, one who speaks the word of God to the people of God. Anna had lived as a wife for a brief 7 years, and she had lived as a widow for 84 years. In a city overflowing with people, I imagine that the temple courts were busy. And I imagine Anna as somebody who loved people. But for some reason, she is drawn to this young family with a newborn 8-day-old son. What was it like for Anna? Perhaps to take hold of that little child and begin to do the mommy dance, you know, the cooing into his eyes, and then look and realize that aha moment. Here is the promise of God fulfilled. She is standing in the presence of God's redeemed plans. Think of the wonder. There is wisdom in choosing to experience wonder, to allow it to touch us. Yes, it means being vulnerable and perhaps being open to things that are beyond our control. But Anna experienced wonder. And she allowed in her wisdom it to give birth to words. She not only encourages Mary and Joseph, but also articulates the experience of wonder to those who were gathered around. She speaks of God's redemption of Israel. Perhaps she even caused a few of the folks who were there going about their religious duties to turn aside and to wonder. Ponder for a moment. How can we use our wisdom, our wonder, our words to bring blessing and hope to others? In your times of contemplation this year, I challenge you, listen to the longings of your heart, and how might you put those into words? In her wisdom, Anna did not withhold the blessing she experienced. In her epiphany, she recognized Jesus as the gift of redemption that God had promised, and she gave voice to her experience. We light the second candle, Anna's candle. May this light guide us in the new year into times of communication. May we be encouraged to see the work of God in others, to use our words to bless. As the psalmist has written, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. The third wise woman is Elizabeth. She is the wife of Zechariah. Both are of advanced age, and they were never able to have children. Scripture describes Elizabeth as barren. Barren, ugh. When we describe a barren landscape, it is harsh, lifeless, empty. I imagine that perhaps Elizabeth's life under the label of barren felt at times empty, at times harsh, while other households around her with children were being raised by women who imparted their talents, who gave of their time, who taught them how to do chores. It wasn't happening in Elizabeth's home. And then one day, all that changed. Elizabeth, in her advanced age, is pregnant. The Message, Eugene Peterson's paraphrase in Luke's gospel, says it this way. He says, Elizabeth, quote, went off to be by herself for 5 months, relishing her pregnancy, unquote. I like to imagine that she spent time contemplating and that she gave voice and words in prayer to perhaps the conflict that was going on inside of her. Her prayers might have been something like, God, are you crazy? It's wonderful to be pregnant. Couldn't you have allowed me to bear a child at a more reasonable age? It will be good to have a son, but why now? I'm an old woman, God. Have you forgotten? And then one day, all that changed again. Elizabeth was well into her third trimester, probably feeling as big as a house, and still wondering, God, what were you thinking? When suddenly, it all makes sense. In an instant, Elizabeth knows that she is right where God has intended all along. God is not crazy. God is working out God's redemptive purpose. Into Elizabeth's home skips young Mary, fresh from her own experience with the angel Gabriel. And wise Elizabeth understands. All these months that she's been pregnant, her husband Zechariah has been unable to talk. You see, he was serving in the temple when the angel Gabriel appeared to him. Gabriel told him that Elizabeth would bear a son, and that the son would be called John, and that he would, quote, go on before the Lord, in the spirit and the power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. By giving Elizabeth a child, God has redeemed her years of barrenness. And by giving a child to Mary, God is redeeming the whole world. Wise Elizabeth recognizes God's redemptive purpose and embraces it. We too embrace God's redemption when we recognize our longing for love, our longing for peace, our longing for joy is fulfilled in Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior. We rejoice knowing that day by day our lives are lived out according to God's redemptive purpose. We light the third candle, Elizabeth's candle. And may this light guide us in the new year to remember that it is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ, we got our hopes up. He had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. One of my favorite Christmas carols is, "Do You Hear What I Hear?" It grows from one aha epiphany to the next, a star, a song, a personal encounter, until all perceive the good news of what God has done in Jesus. Those epiphanies are common experiences which lead to insight and appearances of wonder. In our Old Testament lesson, which Maggie allowed us to hear and to contemplate and to listen to what God is saying, asked us, do we not perceive what God is doing? Every night there are stars. There is music in all of creation. And yet there is something more, some essential meaning which connects to the very core of our being. God is reaching out and speaking his truth to each one of us. Those of faith and wisdom have eyes to perceive it, ears to hear it, hearts that long to receive it. It is my prayer that this new year we will take time to wonder by taking time for listening silence. Take time to allow God to speak to us and through us in words of hope, blessing, and love. And may we live as redeemed people, transformed by the presence of Jesus. Amen.
Good morning. As I thought about prayers of the people, I was reminded of the words of a hymn of my childhood. And one of the lines was, "Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer." Just as this congregation gathered in a tent almost 170 years ago, let us join now together in prayers of the people. Dear Lord, we ask for your continued guidance for this church, its congregation, its deacons and elders, its dedicated staff, and those generous members who add so much to our life as a congregation. How blessed we are to still be meeting together in worship and prayer. We thank you for the cool, kind weather that we enjoy in the Bay Area, where we really don't have winter, just a little rain. We know we are blessed. We ask your assistance to those in New England who are still not back in their homes months after Hurricane Sandy. We pray that our leaders in our city, state, nation, and world would use unselfish strength to seek answers that require them to work together. Give them the vision to represent their constituents rather than just worrying about their own political future. It's January, Lord, and once again we make resolutions to exercise more, to lose weight, to drink less, to quit smoking. Help us resolve to treasure our amazing bodies and minds in thanks to you for giving them to us, rather than simply as an easily broken New Year's resolution. For we know that we are the cause of many of our own aches, pains, and poor health. Give us the strength and discipline to honor your gift of life by taking better care of our health. Give hope to those whose lives are disrupted by sickness or job loss or family problems. Help us all to remember to turn to prayer for comfort and strength. We offer prayers of healing of body, mind, and soul for those with special needs today. And these include Bill Schmidt, Jordan's uncle, Alfred Martin Jr., who is still suffering from the injuries he received in the military, Jeff Byers, who undergoes surgery tomorrow, Craig Kenny, who is always in our prayers, Blair and his father, who are trying to resolve family problems, the family and friends of Euphemia, who celebrated her life this week. We also pray for Mary Russell's father, Grant, who has flu and bronchitis. And we offer blessings to our prayer partners today, Charles Rambo, Dorothy Reed, Linda Ryder, Maria Rodriguez, Annie Scott Rogers, Jack Rozelle, Celia Rudka, Mary Russell, Steve and Mary Jo Shaker, and the Temenos Catholic Workers, and the Reverend Father River Sims, who work with homeless youth. May we all be in your loving hands, reaching out to those who need comfort, healing, and friendship. In the name of your Son, we the people together say, Amen.
And now the challenge is to let your gifts of money, of person, of word, and deed be light for others. So give today of yourself. Give to the one who created you. loving, amazing God, you are still with us. You give us wise women and wise men to help us follow you. Let us have courage today to step, to speak, to be your light in this world. Amen. At this church, we take communion by intinction. You'll just take a bit of bread and you'll dip it in the wine up here or the grape juice down there. And if you would like, you may have prayers over here in the chapel. It's a time to contemplate. Maybe it's a perfect time in this new year to set your path anew. But we come today to this joyful feast of the people of God. All are invited. God has set a place for you. God invites you to be near God, invites you to have courage this day to ask God to be with you. It's a meal of community. It reminds us that God's love is made real for all of us and came through this very human Jesus Christ, so that we here in San Francisco today can have the courage to be God's people, to be wise women and wise men, maybe those that get lost in a swamp like our young ones said, but we will get out of there. And it's like God will dry us off and set us on our way once again. So come to this meal, stop for a moment, and have energy and love and forgiveness come to you. For this is the joyful feast of the people of God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give thanks and praise. Who forever sing to the glory.
No. That's okay. It's a new way. You're fine. You know, what I love about churches is we think everyone doesn't like us. Not really. And if you know us, we don't do it the same way every day. I'll tell you this great prayer of thanksgiving. It doesn't supposed to mean great long, though it feels that way. It's great because it reminds us how amazing God's gifts are. And so we move ourselves to prayer. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O God, the creator and ruler of the universe, the one who made the first light, the one who is there, and we know that darkness may never overcome that light. You created this world and sustain all of this world by your power. You formed us in your image, seeing us in this world to love and to serve you, to live in peace with your whole creation. And yet we rebelled against you, refusing to trust and obey you. But you amazingly did not reject us. You still claim us as your own. You sent prophets to call us back on our way, and we followed you for a bit, and then we walked our own way. And then in the fullness of time, out of your great love for the world, you sent your only son to be one of us, born as a babe, to redeem and heal our brokenness. And for that, we sing with the faithful of every time and place who forever sing to the glory of your name.
Thank you.
holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. And Jesus, born of Mary in that meager manger, your world came real to us. Your word became flesh and dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. And amazingly, he lived among us, knowing our joy and our sorrows. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He opened blind eyes. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners. And he proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and needy. And the poor and needy, they're still us today, and they're still outside. And yet, you came in victory. Your Son rose and told us that there would be a life for us that is amazing, a life with you. And that is great, and that is the mystery of our faith. For Christ has died,
Christ is risen, Christ will come again.
Remembering your gracious acts in Jesus Christ, we give thanks and joyfully await this meal, that it may make something new in us today. And that longing of newness, that longing of light, is old as creation. And we pray that prayer that that Son of light, that hope, taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Give us this day our daily bread.
Forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power,
and the glory forever. Amen. We give thanks to the Lord Jesus Christ. On the night before he died, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Take and eat, and do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup. And he poured simple wine and said, "This is my blood shed for you. It's a new covenant, a new way. So whenever you drink of this, remember me. Remember, I am your bread, I am your life. So come, let us join together in this joyful feast." Come, friends, this is a joyful feast. Come up as you are and let us eat together and drink of God's love and mercy and hope. Alleluia, 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 amen.
Good morning. This morning we're going to sing a hymn that is a little different. So take your hymnals, please, to turn to 64. And I want to call to your attention that we're singing it in English. There are four stanzas, and there is a refrain that has a repeat with different words.
two practical things before you go. Pledge envelopes are here if you would like them. Barry, would you raise your hand? They're in the narthex. That's what Barry meant to tell you. And the others is the poinsettias are done for this season. So if you have ordered one, take one with you. If you feel like your life would be a little brighter with one, take one with you. Or if you have someone you know in your building, a storekeeper, someone who is just especially kind, bring them a poinsettia and say season's greetings to them. For a little bit of joy is still needed.
And now go out into the world in peace, this world that you have been called to, this time and this place, this time we call now. And remember and live that you are God's dearly loved. Peace and joy and blessing to us all. Amen.